Guess What is back this Sunday. ESPN 8, The Ocho, with the wackiest events from around the world. It's dodge juggling, it's cherry pit spitting, it's slippery stairs, sign flipping, stupid robot fighting. Just some of the events you will see. It's ESPN 8, The Ocho, all day Sunday on ESPN 2 and on the ESPN app. And obviously, Dan Orlovsky has been training for several of those events. Dan, which of those do you think you are most accustomed to and most acclimated to and prepared to compete in at some point soon?
The cherry seed spitting, I would excel at.
Yeah. Well, you have the build for it. I can see that working out well for you. And Swagoo, obviously, you're getting ready for that as well. We can joke around all we want, but gang, we have a lot of really big news today in the National Football League. Just since we came on the air 59 minutes ago, two huge stories have broken. So let's tell you what's coming up in this hour. It is time to get up with TB12. Does he want his old buddy Jules with him in Tampa? Well, now it's official. Tom is going to be a Buccaneer, so we'll see who comes with him. Meanwhile, Todd Gurley, when we started an hour ago, he was a free agent. In the last hour, he has found a new team. What exactly does that mean for the NFC? And outside Tom Brady, this was the most meaningful move of the week. But what did it mean, and where do Dak and Dallas go from here? You've got all those questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now. And again, breaking news, within just the last hour, Tom Brady has posted on Instagram that it is official. He has signed his contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, we thought that most of the things that remain to getting that done were essentially formalities. They were. The biggest holdup seems to have been figuring out a way to have a doctor examine him in New York, and that seems to be done. I will read along with you his Instagram post. Excited, humble, and hungry. If there's one thing I've learned about football, it's that nobody cares what you did last year or the year before that. You earn the trust and respect of those around through your commitment every single day. I'm starting a new football journey and thankful for the Buccaneers for giving me an opportunity to do what I love to do. I look forward to meeting all my new teammates and coaches and proving to them that they can believe and trust in me. I've always believed that well done is better than well said, so I'm not going to say much more. I'm just going to get to work. Year one. P.S. Jack Brady with the photo credit. That's his son. Here's Jeff Darlington, our insider. Again, you've been all over this from the very beginning. It is finally official. What can you tell us about the deal?
I'm glad we're finally landing this plane, Greeny. And I can tell you right now that this is a 2-year contract that Tom Brady is signing. And by the way, something to point out here. In Tom Brady's mind, it was never going to be a 1-year situation. This was in his mind. He's not just playing for one season. He's looking toward the future here to keep this thing going. The Bucs certainly willing to give him that opportunity. We're going to be interested to see what the numbers come in at. I can tell you early on in the early goings already, they were nearing $60 million as around $58 million over 2 years, 50 guaranteed. But I would anticipate by the final numbers that being maybe a little bit higher. So those are not formal numbers by any means, but that was the direction where the negotiations were headed. So we'll give you those final numbers as soon as we can get them. But for now, the only thing that really matters is that Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Believe it or not, that's the truth.
And I can tell you that if the numbers do come in there, it will be the largest free agent deal ever signed. Hembo sent me the largest free agent deal ever was given to Kirk Cousins, whose average annual value is $28 million a year. So it seems certain that Tom Brady will get the biggest deal of that sort ever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Jeff Darlington, well done. Thank you. So that's one piece of breaking news that we have. There was another that came even after that, and it is Todd Gurley. Yesterday, he was released by the Los Angeles Rams in what concludes what has been just a precipitous drop from a guy who 2 years ago was a candidate to being MVP of the league. He gets the huge contract in Los Angeles. They then release him yesterday, and now this morning, the news that he will join the Atlanta Falcons on a 1-year contract. So all signs seem to be pointing right now, Shefty, towards the NFC South. By Shefty, I of course mean Adam Schefter. What can you tell us? Todd Gurley to Atlanta.
Greeny, let's take you back the last few weeks when the Los Angeles Rams were shopping Todd Gurley and trying to find a trade partner. The two teams that expressed the most interest in him were the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. If we go back to free agency this week, the Miami Dolphins invested money in Jordan Howard, the former Eagles and Bears running back. That left the Atlanta Falcons as the most logical landing spot. Not only did Todd Gurley want to go back there, but they had a need. Gurley goes back to Georgia. The Falcons fill the gap that they created when they released Devontae Freeman and a salary cap casualty earlier this offseason. And so Gurley goes back to Georgia. The Falcons get their man. Keep in mind that the Rams are paying him $7.5 million this season on that one-year deal. And whatever else the Falcons add on is just icing on the cake for Todd Gurley. Again, he wanted to get this done right away. The Dolphins filled one of the needs. The Buccaneers didn't appear to be overly interested. And it really left the Falcons as the lone logical landing spot for Todd Gurley, and they get a one-year deal done early this morning.
And I feel the need to keep saying this because when I was going through the notes this morning, it jumped out at me. He's still only 25
Amazing.
Years old. I think people think of him as older than that. Shefty, stay with me. I'm coming back to you, but I want to bring in Orlovsky and Marcus Spears. And Swagu, I just want to sort of throw this at you. If you look at where the Rams sit right now, and oh, by the way, where they sit is terrible. Part of the reason is they ripped up the contract of a running back when they didn't have to and gave him a ton of money. And then they made their good, but maybe not great quarterback, the highest paid quarterback in the league. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound anything like what a team that you know awfully well in your hometown might be on the verge of doing?
Gee, you're not gonna get me into it, man. I'm not going there with you. And obviously, we know exactly what you're talking about with Ezekiel Elliott, and obviously Dak going through his contract right now. But I feel like the Rams are in a little different situation. If you think about it, the Rams made a lot of moves for a lot of guys. They brought in Aqib Talib. They brought in Fowler, who's now gone. They got rid of Marcus Peters and brought. So this was built a lot different. Dallas is built through the draft. A lot of these guys have been playing together for a long time, and they've grown them and ushered them into this point. I think the Rams were a quick hit team. Now they have to go through the process of making a run with guys that they're drafting, bringing in, and planning on having there a long time. So I get it. I understand that Todd Gurley was a 4-year, $60 million deal, but at the time, he was more than a running back. He was a guy out of the backfield. He was a catalyst. He was an MVP candidate, for God's sake. So when you think about it, at the time they gave Todd Gurley that contract, it was very warranted. So now we look down the road, Todd Gurley's gone, which usually happens. It's going to be another stain on the running back position. But with that being said, at the time the LA Rams paid Todd Gurley, it was time to pay Todd Gurley.
Can I
stop
just mention
it, G.
Quickly,
don't try to do that.
Listen, can I tell you what the situation the Rams are in? They had no first round pick in 2017, 18, or 19. They don't have one this year. They don't have one next year. The Rams are in all kinds of trouble. And I would throw the same general question at you, Orlovsky. Is this sort of a warning shot to teams about the running back market and the notion of paying guys at that position?
Oh, absolutely, Greeny. I mean, we said last year that Le'Veon Bell was going to be a case study. That didn't work out. Obviously, what happened with Todd Gurley. Now, I do want to be fair to the Rams. I mean, they're a possession or two away from potentially winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And if they do that, we're having a little bit of a different conversation. I think Marcus's point is valid, though, that the Rams, yes, they paid Todd Gurley, but where they messed up was they started to draft poorly as well. They haven't hit on draft picks other than, like, Cooper Kupp up in a couple years, and maybe John Johnson, where the Cowboys, listen, they paid Zeke and they paid Amari, and they're going to pay Dak likely, but they've hit on Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch and Awuzie and Michael Gallup. And so if you draft well, you can still pay those guys, but you better draft well. Greeny, I don't think that there will be another running back contract like that one for a long time. Like the one that Todd Gurley got, I don't see any team making that, if we want to deem it a mistake, because the empirical data that we have says it doesn't pay off.
All right, Dan, stay with me because there's one other thing I want to get in here. I was just scrolling through Twitter while we were in a break, and I saw something that Shefty tweeted just within the last hour or so, and it's very interesting to me, and we put it up on the screen here. With college prospects now banned from visiting NFL teams due to the coronavirus pandemic, and with doctors being unable to examine players on those trips, Tua Tagovailoa will remain the draft's top medical mystery, with teams being unable to get the look at him that they wanted. And so let me bring Shefty back into the conversation here. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. What might the Dolphins be considering doing? Do they feel they can get the quarterback they want at five? Do they need to go up? They are not. I'd love you to expand on that thought that you posted there. They probably will not get the kind of look at Tua that they were expecting to.
Well, Greeny, talking with teams this week, this is a topic that came up a couple of different times. And we all know that teams are not going to get to examine prospects, medically speaking, the way that they would like. Yes, they got a look at them in Indianapolis, undoubtedly. But they would like a further look, a more extensive look, especially at a player like Tua Tagovailoa, when you're going to invest in him and potentially trade up for him and put a lot of money into him and use your first-round draft pick on him. You want to be as convinced as possible. You want as thorough a medical evaluation as you possibly can get. And that is part of the draft process. But the NFL this year has banned players from visiting teams' facilities. They've shut down the team's facilities, as they should. And so when you've got a player like Tua that teams will want to get their hands on in the weeks and days leading up to the NFL draft, they can't do that this year. That leaves the teams in a little bit more of a guessing game than they ordinarily would be in at this time of the year. It's much more of a guessing game than they would like to have. And it was always going to be something of a medical gamble to trade up or to pick Tua in the first round. It's going to be an even bigger gamble at this point in time for the team that goes takes Tua, because they're not going to have the thorough, extensive medical information on him that they ordinarily would if he were allowed to visit.
It's been a long time since I can think of a player where this would be more relevant than it is in the case of Tua. Shefty, thank you. Do we have Laura? Is Laura? Okay, great. So no one knows the situation with Tua Tagovailoa's health better than our own Laura Rutledge, and I'm told she's with us on the phone. So, Laura, you hear sort of the concern here. Under these extraordinary circumstances, what are teams planning to do? What do we know about the way teams are approaching Tua relative to his health?
Well, look, Greeny, I think the most important date is still April 10th. If you remember, Tua's pro day was supposed to be April 9th, and then he would have gone to those combine rechecks April 10th in Indianapolis. Obviously, that is not going to happen now, but they will still do the MRI that they were planning to do on April 10th anyway. It'll just most likely happen in Birmingham, Alabama, or somewhere around those parts, maybe even in Nashville. Either way, that scan will still happen. And right now, just under these current times, they will have to take that MRI and send it in a huge file. It'll almost be like a Dropbox file, because it'll be such a large file, to all of the doctors that are associated with the teams that could be interested in Tua. And like Shefty said, this is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but this is really all that they can do right now to make sure that these teams at least have their hands on the MRI, which they would have gotten anyway in Indianapolis. So the other part of this as well is that Tua's camp right now is working on some sort of video that they would be able to give out to these teams, showing him throwing, showing him doing the exercises that people would want to see otherwise, and really trying to, you know, replicate what these teams would be doing if they were able to see Tua in person. So very much uncharted territory. And to your point, Greeny, this was already complicated for Tua, and to add this into the mix, it just makes the stakes that much higher. But one other point that I wanted to give you, in talking to people affiliated with Tua and his group of advisors and people around him, they still feel very confident that the teams that were interested continue to be interested, and that those teams felt very good about his health back at the combine, as Shefty referenced.
All right, Laura, I know that you'll be talking to all the people down there, and we will check in with you as all of this continues to develop. Thank you. Let me go very quickly back to Orlovsky and Marcus. Swagoo, very simple. Knowing what you know right now, would you take Tua with the third pick in the draft?
Not what I know right now. I would have to see him on those April 9th in 10 days. And if I can't, gee, it's hard. It's just it's a terrible situation. Him and Cam Newton are in similar situations as far as trying to determine their health, because if they're healthy, they're really good players.
Dan, what do you think?
Greeny, yes, I would. Listen, if you're a team, you need to go full Chris Farley and David Spade mode. Hop in Tommy Boy mode and hop in some cars and go on some road trips. If I'm an owner, I'm going to my coach and my general manager and my doctors and saying, you guys are going to hop in cars, you're going to drive to wherever Tua is, and you're going to give whatever physical or whatever you need to do to figure out where he is medically, you're going to go do that. Do not waste the opportunity to draft Tua Tagovailoa over the inability because of the travel and the situation that we're in. You're getting in cars, and you're going to do it the hard way, Chris Farley, David Spade, Tommy Boy style.
All right, we will see. This is shapes up to be, with the draft basically a month away, one of the most interesting stories. We're just getting this hour started. Much more to do as we get up with you. For those of you who do not believe Tom Brady can throw the ball downfield anymore, Dan Orlovsky is going to prove you're wrong. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up, and it is official. Within just the last hour, Tom Brady posting on Instagram a photo of himself signing a contract that officially makes him a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Adam Schefter reporting it is a two-year deal. We don't have the numbers in yet. It does seem certain it will make him the highest-paid free agent by average annual value that we've ever seen. Prior to him, Kirk Cousins had been that at $28 million a year. And so you start thinking about the offense that Tampa has been running with Jameis Winston and his big arm, and his average throw was over 10 yards downfield. And last year, Tom Brady, obviously far fewer than that. So that may bring a lot of people to come away with the impression, well, Tom Brady can't throw the ball downfield anymore. He's going to be 43 years old. He doesn't have the arm strength to do that, so he doesn't really fit into the offense they've been running. My man Dan Orlovsky has been working day and night to bring you tape that may just disprove that. Dan, take it away.
Yeah, Greeny, when you watch the tape, it shows that Tom Brady's arm is still plenty strong enough to play in this Bruce Arians-led offense and push the football downfield. Greeny, first clip, I want everyone to see ball on the right hash. Okay, shotgun. Now I want everyone to see where this ball is going to be let go from, about the 20-yard line. Now watch the pace. Watch the line of this football go across right to left to the 47-yard line, about 27-yard throw on a rope. Another one, Brady in the shotgun. He's going to have to move just a little bit, and this ball is going to get thrown from about the 26-yard line all the way downfield to the left sideline, right around the opposite 40. That's about 35 yards on a rope again. See that pace of the football. Brady's arm, because of the tape shows, is going to be plenty strong enough to deliver those 15, 20, 25-yard throws that Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich want as part of this offense, Greeny, and he's going to excel and move forward with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans.
Yeah, so much of the conversation last year was, is it Brady or is it the weapons? Sounds like you're suggesting it was more the weapons than anything else. Look who's back with us. My man Emmanuel Acho is back. And Ach, I know you've been listening to this conversation a lot, and you may have a different opinion. What do you see?
I have. I've been listening to it far too long, Greeny, and to me, there's a little bit of deception. Yes, Tom Brady can make throws at times, but it's not all the time. And in this Bruce Arians offense, you need to be able to make the big play throws all the time. Tom Brady, over the last 2 years, he's 28th in yards per attempt. Bruce Arians, his last four stints, whether the Cardinals, the Colts, the Steelers, or last year with the Bucks, he's top one, top two in yards per attempt with this quarterback. I don't see Tom Brady being able to do it on a consistent basis. Not with this Bruce Arians offense, not at all.
Let me ask you, Acho, because before I give it back to Dan here, it's one thing not to have done it, and it's another thing not to be able to do it. That might not have been the offense he was running in New England. Do you feel confident in saying you don't think he can do it as much as he hasn't been doing it?
No, I don't feel confident at all in Tom Brady being able to do it. Now, there's a caveat. Bruce Arians has already said he'll adjust with Tom Brady. Do you want to run the offense you're familiar to running, or do you want to run the offense that I'm familiar to running? So I'm not saying that Tom Brady in Tampa can't succeed if BA changes, that is Bruce Arians. But the Bruce Arians that we know, the Bruce Arians that we've known, not at all. Tom Brady, he's 43 years old. And although Tom Brady's the best football player of all time, Father Time never actually takes any losses. So Tom Brady's not winning that matchup. I don't see him being able to do it unless they adjust. And I do trust Bruce Arians to a degree to adjust.
So you guys, you see it differently. Orlovsky, let me just reframe it as a question. How different do you think that offense will look that Arians will run this year with Brady at the quarterback?
It's going to look a lot different, Greeny, and this is why. It's not going to be Bruce Arians' offense. It's going to be Byron Leftwich's. Byron Leftwich is their offensive coordinator. And Bruce Arians is going to hand the keys over to Byron Leftwich, and then Byron Leftwich is going to hand the keys over to Tom Brady. And Byron Leftwich, we have to look at the prism of what he was as a player, because that's often how coaches learn, is their experiences as players. As a player, he was under a guy named Greg Olsen, short pass game, West Coast. As a player, he was under a guy like Hugh Jackson, short passing game, West Coast. Bill Musk, short passing game, West Coast ball distribution offense. Byron Leftwich is going to sit down with Tom Brady and go, Tom, listen, what do you want to do? Let's do what you want to do, especially in their empty package, Greeny. Everyone, you know what Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich love to do? Get an empty. They love to put five offensive linemen, five wide receivers, and let the quarterback make the decision with the football. Here's why Acho's wrong. Jameis Winston struggled mightily in empty. That's the bread and butter of their offense. Struggled mightily in empty. One of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. You know who happens to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in empty? Tom Brady, because he can figure out what the defense is doing, get information, and distribute the football. Acho, this offense is going to be tailor-made for Tom Brady. And another thing, you know what doesn't go away with age? Arm strength, especially Greeny, when you take care of it. Tom really Brady's quick. Arm is going to be plenty strong enough, Acho.
Acho, just have a second. Greeny, go ahead.
This is why Orlovsky kills me. You're talking about empty. Empty is one package, Greeny, one set within an offensive formation that Dan Orlovsky just massaged so beautifully and eloquently to say that Tom Brady's better than Jameis in empty. That is one formation on the offense. You're telling me that empty, this one package,
it's a primary
this one
thing
formation
that they do,
on offense is the reason why Tom Brady's going to succeed in Tampa? Give him a run game, something that Jameis didn't have. Give him the time to adjust, something that Jameis didn't have.
Acho, they're going to do empty, and they're going to do play action. And Byron Leftwich is going to tell Tom Brady to do what he wants in both of those. Tom Brady started to excel in the play action pass in his last couple years in New England. They're going to run the football, they're going to do play action pass, and then they're going to get an empty. And again, empty is something Tom Brady does as good as anybody in football. He's top five in basically every category with it, where Jameis struggled. So you're going to see this offense take a step forward because Brady excels in it so much. The arm strength thing is being made too much of a big deal about. And here's the thing. You want consistency. You said you got to be consistently able to make that throw. You're talking about the most consistent quarterback ever in Tom Brady.
True.
I have to
True.
Let you
he's
guys
also
go
older
on that.
Than he's ever been.
I have to go. Acho, you and I are still on Jameis Winston's hill, but the one thing you do better than me, you play the piano and sing on social media way, way better than I ever could. Thank you, guys. We'll take a short break. We have much more to do here as we continue. Why does everyone want to go to TB to play with TB12? We'll answer that question and more next. Get up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and we have a bunch of news. Now we have to get to the news that we're still waiting for. Run the hurry up. Dan Graziano, insider extraordinaire. What's going on with Jadeveon Clowney?
Jadeveon Clowney still looking for the big payday he set out to try and get at the start of free agency, was hoping to get a contract that pays him in excess of $20 million a year, has not been able to find that from teams. The Seattle Seahawks still lurking, would love to have him back, though not at that price. If they wait out the market, it may be that he returns to Seattle, where he played well for them last year.
Pretty remarkable. How about Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett, the big day on Jacoby Brissett is Sunday. On Sunday, he has a $7 million roster bonus that becomes guaranteed. No one's going to trade for him before that, because if you do, you have to take on $15 million as opposed to just $8 million. So if the Colts are going to move him, they're probably not going to get calls until next week. I believe the Colts are fine with having Jacoby Brissett on next year's roster as Philip Rivers' backup, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't pick up the phone if someone called. And at $8 million in salary and bonus, he could be a very appealing option to a team looking for quarterback depth or to add to their quarterback competition.
And speaking of quarterbacks, we're seeing Cam Newton. What's going on with him?
Well, nothing right now, Greeny. They've been trying to trade him, but they haven't had success. And the likely outcome, as we've been saying for a couple days, is that they will end up releasing him and he'll go on the market with these other free agent quarterbacks. Not a great year to be in Cam Newton's position. Other free agent quarterbacks on the market that could be appealing, including, you know, Jameis Winston. But and when you figure Cam Newton is coming off a serious foot injury, teams aren't going to be able to bring him in and examine him and see how healthy he is. So could be a while before we see Cam Newton land anywhere.
All right, so those are the ones that we're waiting on. This morning, we got one we've been waiting on. Todd Gurley was not a free agent long. He was released by the Rams yesterday, and today he has reached an agreement with the Atlanta Falcons. Our Jordan Schultz tells us it is a one-year deal. So, Graziano, I'll come back to you. What can you tell us about Todd Gurley headed to Atlanta?
Well, he's headed to Atlanta where they're looking for help in the run game. It's back home for him. It's a great fit. Interested to see the numbers on a one-year deal. You look at this is Todd Gurley 2 years ago was getting a historic running back deal that he thought and hoped would reset the running back market. And what it did instead was probably push teams the other way in terms of how much or how little they want to pay running backs. When you look at guys that are up for extensions here pretty soon, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, I think it's going to be very, very hard for these guys to find the contracts of their dreams. And part of the reason is teams will be able to point to the Todd Gurley contract with the Rams and say he got cut 2 years after signing that. That goes to show that we're not in the business of wanting to pay running backs. So Gurley could end up being a cautionary tale for teams as they pursue big money extensions with some of these running backs.
Yeah, you see the numbers there and the enormous fall off from a guy in Gurley who 2 years ago we were talking about as a potential MVP candidate. We'll see what it does do to the running back market. I think that is an interesting note. Well done, Graziano. Thank you. And we'll continue to come back to you as these signings keep coming. And meanwhile, I want to read this again. Adam Schefter tweeting this the other day. Since word that Tom Brady is expected to land in Tampa, an unexpected high number of players have reached out to the Buccaneers to let them know they want to join the former Patriots quarterback there, per league sources. Well, Brady to Tampa is now official, so we thought let's talk to someone who has played with Tom Brady about what that is like. There he is. Damian Woody, it is so good to see your face, big fella. Thank you very much. What do you make of that, this notion that players around the league who have options might be now looking at Tampa and saying, that's the place I want to go?
Well, listen, I agree with you because there's a couple good points here. Number one, you're talking about playing with the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, so that's attractive in and of itself. The opportunity to try to go for a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're playing in Florida with no state tax. And I'm pretty sure a lot of these guys probably are older veterans that are looking to try to get a Super Bowl win at the end of their career. The opportunity to team up with Tom Brady with all the weapons that they have in Tampa and the emerging defense under Todd Bowles. All of those things are really appealing, probably for older veterans.
Yeah, ring chasing has been something we've seen in all sports for a long time, and maybe Brady brings that to Tampa. Granted, you played with him when he was a very young player, so a lot has changed. But how would you describe what it's like playing with Brady as the quarterback?
Oh, he's the ultimate competitor. I mean, this guy, every time you stepped on the field, no matter if it was, you know, 2 minutes in the game, playoff games, you always had a feeling that you were either in it or you're going to win it. Because of his competitive fire, the fact that 9 times out of 10, he wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't going to make a mistake that was going to hurt the team. So when you have that type of guy in your huddle, you just want to do your job that much better knowing that he's going to do his. And I think that's why a lot of guys are attracted to playing with Tom Brady.
So we've talked a lot about Brady going to Tampa. We've talked very little about the Patriots, who now are looking, among other things, for a new quarterback. What do you think there? What should the New England Patriots do about replacing Tom Brady at quarterback?
Well, I think you've been hearing Orlowski talk about Jacoby Brissett, and I think that's a real appealing option for the New England Patriots. He knows the culture. He knows the system. He's played under Josh McDaniels in that system. So you know, if you're the Patriots, if you're looking to create an atmosphere of competition, they already had Jarrett Stidham there already in place. If you can acquire a guy like Jacoby Brissett to bring in there, I think that would be a great move for the Patriots at a real low cost for the quarterback position.
So you played for Bill, and you know a lot about the Patriot way. Now, Brady's legacy, I think, is 100% secure regardless. He's a 43-year-old quarterback, and he's accomplished more than any quarterback ever. But if the narrative exists out there that Bill wanted to move on from Brady and wanted to go forward, what do you think is at stake for him, depending on how the Patriots look the next couple of years?
Well, listen, I think both of those guys are, you know, they're alphas. They're the greatest of all time, in my opinion. But I think what Pete, the question that everyone wants to know is, okay, can Bill has built this culture, this Patriot way. Well, if you take Tom Brady out of the mix, can he still win at a high percentage level? Can he still be a championship level coach without the greatest of all time quarterback in his team? And I think that's what's real intriguing about this whole thing. You got Tom moving on to Tampa Bay, and now you got Bill basically starting over in New England without the GOAT. These questions will be answered real quickly.
Yeah, it's not just without the GOAT also. It's important to point out, we have sat here talking about how bad the weapons were around Brady. They have a really good defense. They don't have a whole lot on that offense. So what? Very, very quickly, what are your expectations for them next year? If they were to bring in a Jacoby Brissett, are they a playoff team?
Listen, I always say that football, more so than any other sport, the head coach is that much more important. I still view the Patriots as a playoff team next year.
All right, well done. And, D. Wood, I love all the jerseys behind you. Thank you very much. It's great to see you. We continue here on Get Up with some of the big moves. DeAndre Hopkins going to the desert, and he's happy. Dak Prescott staying in Dallas. He might not be. We'll tell you what the biggest moves have been so far. Coming up, Get Up, ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
After 20 years, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 rings, Tom Brady posted his goodbye.
This is it for him, man. Thanks for a hell of a run.
Tom Brady is going to wind up as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Wrap your mind around that one.
Get yourself in a situation like this. You know, this is a great opportunity for us to get there. We're going to be in it at the end. You know, there's no team that's going to run away from us.
It's official as of this morning. Tom Brady posting a picture on Instagram of himself signing his new contract and talking about officially being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. We're still waiting on the financial terms to come in. The contract, according to Adam Schefter, is going to be for 2 years. The highest priced free agent ever in terms of annual value was Kirk Cousins at $28 million a year. It seems certain Brady will surpass that. And now Bruce Arians, the head coach in Tampa, has chimed in with a statement. He says, Tom is the most successful quarterback in the history of our league, but what makes him so special is his ability to make those around him better. I've had the privilege to work with some of the best passers in our game, and the characteristics they all possessed with the ability to lead and get the best out of their teammates. Tom is no different. He is a proven winner who will provide the leadership, accountability, and work ethic necessary to lead us to our goal of winning another championship. So that's from Bruce Arians. We spoke to Levante David earlier, the now teammate of Tom's in Tampa. They're all excited. But here's Swagoo. Here's what I'm excited to hear, because there's been a lot of Tom Brady talk, and understandably so. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. But you have put together for us a top five list of all the other moves into the NFL leading towards next season besides Tom Brady that have been the most important to you. Swagoo, go.
Hey, G, I appreciate doing this list. At number five, I have Malcolm Jenkins going to the New Orleans Saints. Listen, this is a big move. The last time we saw the Saints, Kyle Rudolph was catching a touchdown in the playoffs to put them out of the run for the Super Bowl. So now you have Malcolm Jenkins, who is still grading out as one of the elite cover safeties in the league. I think he's going to help this defense tremendously. And that was the Achilles heel for the New Orleans Saints, his defense being that Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay. Malcolm Jenkins is a big move. Number Number four, Matt Nagy now has Nick Foles. And I think this tremendously helps. It creates competition, first and foremost, for Mitchell Trubisky. It puts another guy in the locker room with the success of winning the Super Bowl, but also being in a backup role and pushing a younger quarterback to be elite. Same situation with Carson Wentz as far as being behind him and a guy that can come in and make things happen. He thrives in the shotgun. That's what Matt Nagy likes to do. I think this is a huge move for the Chicago Bears, and I believe by week eight or week six, Nick Foles will be the starter in Chicago. The third one, the Washington Redskins getting Ron Rivera. This is a huge move. The Redskins have been in this abyss. They've been up and down trying to figure out what this organization is going to be. They have Ron Rivera now who is there. He is a stability. He is calm. He did a tremendous job in Carolina getting the Panthers to a Super Bowl. He understands what it takes to win. Not to mention, Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator on that staff as well, has been a longtime head coach, and Scott Turner offensively. Can they get Haskins to where they need to be? Will they go get Cam? I think this is a huge, huge move for the Washington Redskins to bring Ron Rivera in as the coach. My second to best one is D-Hop going to the Arizona Cardinals. Are you kidding me? My mind is still blown by the fact that the Houston Texans would let D-Hop go. A receiver in his prime, 27 years old, Kyler Murray, buckle up. He's going to have success. I was one that was not in on Kyler Murray because I hadn't seen a quarterback of that stature have a lot of success. The fact that he has Hop, the fact that he has Fitz still there, this offense, Cliff Kingsbury, they did some tremendous things down the stretch. But when you add a dog, a beast, a guy that wins 50-50 balls and can make tremendous amount of plays, it puts you in contention. Kyler Murray, buckle up. You got one of the best in the league. And my first one is not so positive. It's Dak Prescott getting the franchise tag. Now, obviously, everybody is still of the mind that this is a holdover until the Dallas Cowboys can get a long-term deal done. In my opinion, a long-term deal should have been done already. We've been talking about this for about 2 years, year and a half, I would say. So with that being said, now we look forward. Is Dak Prescott going to be happy? Is Dak Prescott going to show up? Will they deal with a lot of turmoil this offseason because their quarterback is not locked up? And then Dak plays under a franchise tag 1 year. Are the Cowboys in a position the following year to have to draft a quarterback because their relationship is soured and Dak needs to move on? These are the five biggest moves in free agency this year. I like it.
I like it too. I like it. It's extraordinarily well done. Swagoo, thank you very much. And I'll tell you that this weekend, we got sports for you. We've got 11 hours of the greatest fights in UFC history with our UFC marathon. The biggest names, the baddest brawls, the best bets to win a belt someday. It all starts tomorrow, noon Eastern. It'll be on ESPN and on the ESPN app. We have more Get Up coming your way, and then we'll be First Take, then SportsCenter, NFL Live, the latest free agency news, and a whole lot more. On First Take, they'll talk about Tua's medical history and how that'll impact the draft. That's next on ESPN. ESPN 8, The Ocho, is back on Sunday with the wackiest events from around the world. Dodge juggling, cherry pit spitting, slippery stairs, sign flipping, and stupid robot fighting are just some of the events that you will see. You can enjoy ESPN 8, The Ocho, all day Sunday on ESPN 2 and on the ESPN app. And as we're about Ocho minutes away from the start of First Take, let's talk about this. A lot of eyes are on Tom Brady in Tampa. A lot of others are on Tua Tagovailoa, trying to figure out where he will wind up going in the draft. And our Adam Schefter made a very important point on Twitter earlier, then we brought him in to discuss it live here on the show. But I'll read you the tweet from Schefty. With college prospects now banned from visiting NFL teams due to the coronavirus pandemic, and with doctors being unable to examine players on those trips, Tua Tagovailoa will remain the draft's top medical mystery, with teams being unable to get the look at him that they wanted. And here he comes, the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith, is with us live here again, 7 minutes away from First Take. But, Steve, we all understand how this stuff works. These general managers are essentially betting their jobs on some of these decisions. Would you be willing to stake your career on Tua Tagovailoa, sort of sight unseen, high in this draft?
Well, my answer for most of the teams would be, hell no, I'm not doing that. I need to make sure that, you know, you're physically fit. The reality is that we know what a great, great player that he was. He was completing about 71% of his passes, had about 33 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions before he got hurt. The year before that, it was 43 touchdowns and just 6 interceptions on the season. He's an elite quarterback, but I definitely need to check his health because durability on the collegiate level was a problem for him. So certainly it would be a problem for him on the pros, one would presume. The flip side to that, however, is it also depends on the level of desperation that you're feeling, particularly if you're working for an organization that hasn't been winning, but they give you the latitude to take such a risk. If I'm the Miami Dolphins at number 5, certainly I can do that. Why? Because I've got an 18th pick. I have no quarterback to speak of for the foreseeable future. And as a result, it might be worth the risk considering the level of struggles that you've had in recent memory. The Chargers weren't able to get Tom Brady. They've got the 6th pick. I would take that into consideration. I'd also take it into strong consideration if I'm the San Francisco 49ers at number 13, because there are questions about Garoppolo, whether or not he's a game manager or a guy that you can really, really rely upon. But considering everything else that they have at their disposal, an elite defense, weapons at the wideout spot. Don't get me started with George Kittle, who's battling Travis Kelce for the best tight end in the game. And you look at their running backs as well. And so you have everything that you need in San Francisco. You can afford to take those risks. Those are the 3 situations where I might consider an exception. But by and large, from a generic perspective, am I taking the chance on somebody that I haven't seen with a high first round pick when the only question about him is his durability? And I can't look at his health. Nah, I'm not going to do that.
I think you bring up a really important point. We've been talking about Tua going 2 or 3 or 4. These circumstances may cause him to fall far further than we expected. And because, Stephen A., it's not just your ability to see where he is relative to this last hip. Just the history of injury alone, all of the surgeries and all of the injuries, how much would that frighten you off regardless of these circumstances?
Of course it's going to frighten you off to some degree, because if you have durability issues at the collegiate level, to regurgitate my point, then what's it going to be like when you're going up against grown men in a National Football League that have mortgages to pay and families to feed? It's just an elevated level of concern because of the violence that exists in the National Football League compared to any other level when it comes to football. You have to take that into consideration. If your durability is a question mark on the collegiate level, just like if your skill set was a question mark on the collegiate level, it's going to be an even bigger question mark on the pro level. And I think the same concerns are equated with his physical health. He's still big time. I believe in his skill set, no doubt. If he was healthy, I would like him ahead of Joe Burrow, to be quite honest with you, as the number one quarterback taken, number one overall. But because his durability is such a question mark, I can't just ignore not seeing him physically and then spend a top 4 pick on him. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, I can do it at 5. If I'm the Chargers, I can do it at 6. If I'm San Francisco, I can do it at 13. That's about it.
I like that a lot. Stephen A., thank you very much, and we'll see you in 3 minutes as First Take gets underway. And guys, if we can, I'd like to, well, we have this here from Antonio Brown, who, and listen, there's been so much speculation about whether AB will join TB in TB, and certainly he may be doing his part with posting a nice message there. Congratulations to the legend Tom Brady. Let me very quickly go to Dan and Marcus, because I want to ask one other question beyond this. But what do you make of this? The idea, Dan Orlovsky, quickly, that they might be able to bring Antonio Brown down there pending whatever the league does as far as discipline is concerned. Do you like it, Antonio Brown with Tom Brady in Tampa?
No, Greeny, I don't. I'm not surprised by this, but I don't like it. I've been outspoken that I wouldn't bring Antonio Brown into my locker room. I think there's other options that in the totality of things are healthier for the organization. I know it's appealing, but I just don't like bringing Antonio Brown into the locker room at all.
Yeah, I think that is one of the concerns. I want to leave that there because, guys, I'd like to pick up if I can. I'm sort of taking this on my own here, but on what Stephen A. just said. Marcus, I'm going to come to you on that because we have been talking about Tua Tagovailoa through this process as though, okay, he might even go as high as number 2, certainly number 3. Dolphins will never get him at 5. But as we sit here and talk about teams being unable to look at him, being unable to go through all the usual procedures you would have with his history of injury and the particular circumstance he has with his hip, do you think it's possible that Tua winds up falling far farther than we expected in this draft next month?
I think it's highly possible, G, especially with the climate. Now, obviously, if guys were able to do their homework, they'd be able to make a great assessment. But at this point, man, like Dan said, get in the car and go see how Tua is doing. We're not just dealing with this one injury, though. Tua has, he was going to have the ability to show that the hip was fully healed. But also, he has to change a little bit how he approaches the game as well, because most of his injuries have been rolling out, holding the ball too long. And people say that's a simple fix. No, it's not. Not throughout the course of a game. Not when it's something that's been habit for you. So there's a lot of things that you need to try to assess. Tua talent off the charts. But I'd be very careful in this process of drafting him possibly unhealthy and setting the franchise and organization back if he can't get back to being the Tua that we think he can be.
Me too. 10 seconds, Orlovsky. We have thought all along Miami would have to trade up from 5 to get him. What do you and your family think?
We don't think that there's any chance Tua's going to get out of, like, the 3rd pick, Greeny. Get in the car. Go check his health. He's too good of a player.
All right. Look at Dan. That makes you feel good. You know what? We are doing everything we can here to try and bring you the sports and hopefully a little fun every single morning. And that is the spirit of what we're doing. A very wonderful weekend to the Orlovsky family, to the Spears family, and to your family. Thank you for getting up with us. We will be here on Monday, I promise. First Take starts now.